The Insights Idaho Department of Finance communicates department news and perspectives to aid consumers in making educated financial decisions and to inform both industry and consumers of regulatory and consumer protection issues.
Welcome to the seventh episode of Insights. I'm your host, Celia Kenny, Consumer Affairs Officer with the Idaho Department of Finance. Today, we have a special guest, Superintendent Debbie Critchfield, to talk through her newly passed historic legislation requiring financial literacy for Idaho students. Superintendent Critchfield, we are incredibly fortunate to have you here today. Thank you for being with us. Let's begin by sharing some of the background for our esteemed guest. She was elected Superintendent of Public Instruction in November of 2022. And sworn in January 2023. Previously, she served as a seven-year member of the Idaho State Board of Education and was president during her final 2 years. Debbie was a co-chair to Governor Little's Education Task Force in 2019 and committee chair for Governor Otter's Higher Education Task Force in 2017. She chaired the Reopen Idaho Schools Committee in 2020 and was a member of the Governor's K-12 Council. She was an elected school board member in Cache County for 10 years, 5 as a board chair, and she worked as the public information officer for Cache School District for 9 years, stepping down before her election as the state superintendent. We are also joined by two repeat special guests, Consumer Finance Bureau Chief Aaron Van Engelen and Securities Bureau Chief John Yaros. John and Aaron, welcome back, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Celia. John and I both wanted to be here today to promote financial literacy. It's an important program of the department that supports financial health of Idahoans. We're excited to see legislation regarding some degree of financial preparedness for the next generation. In a podcast earlier this month, I spoke about the minimal amount of education I had going into college surrounding financial literacy and the lack of preparedness I felt, and I assume some young people still feel, when stepping out into the real world from a financial perspective. Superintendent Critchfield, can you lay the groundwork for us and share a bit about your personal history, specifically what prompted financial literacy to be a focus for you?
I think that it started with an overall approach to how we prepare our students for life. More than just the knowledge piece, I think we also want to talk about how do you apply what you know. And as I thought about and as a candidate traveled around the state and listened to students and families and teachers, it became pretty clear to me that the math skills that we were talking about, we want to have those basic math skills, but there's something beyond that that gets into that personal management, financial piece, and frankly, kind of your relationship with money that is very different than the skills you're going to learn in algebra or calculus. And so how do we take strands of what already existed within our current math classes and put that together and say, what are the standards or the competencies that we want our students to know so that as they exit our public system, we feel that we've provided them with that foundational piece for them just to be an adult, to live in their community, to manage their own funds.
I actually did not have a lot of that in high school, and it would have been most incredibly
helpful.
Most students
don't. and parents, you know, what I also heard too, parents were very excited about this piece because parents are not comfortable with this. I'm overgeneralizing. Many of our parents are not comfortable sitting down and explaining to their students, this is how we talk about our monthly household budget. This is how we manage our money. This is the conversations, you know, that we have about how we're going to meet our financial obligations. I think adults are uncomfortable with that themselves. And then it's even more awkward when you're sitting down with your child saying, you know, these are the do's and don'ts of financial health.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for my parents, coming from a generation of you don't talk about money. So that's also part of it.
Absolutely. I hope this will trickle down to our parents or trickle up whatever direction it needs to go. But as our students become more comfortable and feel like they've got some of those pieces that they need, that they may generate some of these conversations at home.
Exactly. You know, and thank you for sharing the background behind the initiative and, you know, congratulations on the passage of House Bill 92, because it really is a tremendous accomplishment. Can you give us a little bit of breakdown of what financial literacy in Idaho classrooms has looked like in recent history and how that differs from what it will look like when this implementation of the literacy legislation goes into place?
Thank you. I appreciate that question because there is a distinction. We have had elements of financial well-being, personal management, but they have existed across the board in a variety of classes, and not just math, frankly. We've had elements of it in a career planning class or perhaps a home economics class. And so what we want to do is, first of all, establish what those standards or competencies should be. Where are they existing? And they can stay there. But we want to really call it out and we want to formalize it in a way to say, this is the class. And here are the things that you will be exposed to. Here are the things that, you know, we want you to know. Now, as far as the state requirements are concerned, that's always the minimum. These are the, in everything that you do, make sure you touch on these. We are hopeful and will encourage our districts who don't currently have some program or a class to be very comprehensive in what they present. And I think that it should reflect some of the local and regional aspects that we see around the state. You know, you get into agricultural communities, I would hope our students would be exposed, or our teachers would expose our students to, you know, you live in a community that this is a predominant industry. And here are some elements of what that looks like and how you might find yourself in a job where they're talking about a 401k. We talk to students and young people, they don't have any idea why that's a benefit to a job. They don't understand why a health insurance as part of a competitive salary package is an attractive thing to look for. Here are things that you need to be aware of. And so the standards that exist now, they can stay where they are, but we want to call them out in a very organized and structured way. And what we're going to do is we've got half a credit of economics. So in the past, we've had one economics class that's been required for all, or one credit, excuse me. So we're going to do half econ, half financial literacy. Now, how districts decide to put that together will be on them. Who they decide to have teach that will also be up to them. So we don't currently have, first of all, there's not a teaching endorsement for financial literacy at any college in Idaho. So we cannot require a certificate for something that doesn't exist. And I'm actually happy about that for the reason that I want someone that's excited about this topic. Maybe that's a PE teacher. Maybe that is, you know, it needs to be a certified teacher that's already in your building. But go find that person. And we know those people that love this subject. Go find that person and make them the champion of this class. And we see a lot of districts, particularly our larger districts, already have a full semester course that's an elective. We don't want this to be, if you can squeeze it into your schedule, we really want you to take this. No, we believe this is highly important to you as an individual for the rest of your life. Therefore, similar to a required English class, a required math class, you know, required health class, you're going to take this too.
Yeah, so great to have you here today, Superintendent. And I just want to kind of transition to the future development of the financial literacy program as a whole. As we know, the global financial system is massive and complex. And Superintendent, I know you're just in the beginning stages of developing a financial literacy curriculum overall. But I was wondering if any thought is being given to really developing a more comprehensive financial literacy program in Idaho schools, one that kind of goes beyond the basic concepts such as budgeting, saving strategies, and personal investments. So, for example, perhaps there could be some additional elective courses in the future that teach the differences between perhaps various types of financial institutions or entities, or even courses that focus on financial market infrastructure, regulation, financial technology, or even potential career paths, and a personal favorite for me, national security finance. Essentially, what are your thoughts on expanding the program in the future?
Can I just say yes to everything that you said?
I love that.
Cut to the chase. No, everything that you just pointed out, I would absolutely love to see a part of this. And as I mentioned before, what the state has laid out in the bill itself, that is the bare minimum. We're going to encourage districts to really have a full, robust, comprehensive program that exposes our students to all of those things. What I think is so interesting in many of the subjects that you just mentioned, I hear our students asking about that. We have students who want to know about investing on the global level. You know, how do all of these financial and discussions intersect with a lot of the social issues that we have? It's a different student that we have, which every generation has its own. This is where I sound like my grandma right now. But every generation has its own feel. And we've got a generation that they don't talk in terms of what do I want to be when I grow up. They talk about what problems do I want to solve? And how are we connected, not just in our state, but nationally, globally? And so I would hope that our districts who are more down the road on this topic that have this fuller program, we want to connect them to districts that are just starting and then say, here are things that you can also think about. We know that there's a lot of free or very low cost curriculums that are available out there that would also drive towards some of these same conversations.
No, I love that because I think I came from a family with a pretty low financial literacy rate and just understanding all the opportunities available, the different types of banks, private equity firms, hedge funds, just understanding the whole ecosystem, I think, is a key part of really financial literacy as a whole. And so with that kind of said, who do you think will be involved in kind of defining and developing the educational framework and standards for classroom instructions? Just kind of getting a feel if there will be some people from industry. Will it be very much coming from the educational departments themselves? You touched on this a little bit, but just trying to figure out where that expertise and some other things may be coming from.
We will want, certainly the education sector will be a part of it, but we have to involve the financial sector in this. We look at banks, credit unions, other people that are interested in and have a knowledge to say, hey, if here are things where, while you're talking and training students to be aware of these things, make sure that they're paying attention to these other things. And so we will be this summer reaching out and working with a variety of people who have interest, knowledge, that are excited about this. You know, Idaho is one of a limited amount number of states that now has this as a required graduation requirement. And I think that we'll see more states get into it. So we also have the benefit of looking at other states who are, again, further down the road than we are. But I also want to make it Idaho's version of this. I think that there are lessons to be learned when we look outside. But again, being specific to our state, my husband and I are, we've farmed for a very long time. And we were able to use this example of, you know, sacks of potatoes when our kids were young and wanted things, because they were out helping us and, you know, working on the conveyor belts and, you know, some of these other things, you know, we could say, you know, well, we want to buy this. Well, do you know that's 100 sacks of potatoes, which seems kind of, you know, it was very unique and specific for that, but it gave them that visual of that's how much work I would have to put into being able to buy, you know, whatever that thing is. And so I'd love to have those types of examples that open up a kid's mind to, you got to earn what you get. And you should feel good about that, actually. What do you have to put in? And in the end, is it worth whatever that thing is that you're going to buy?
No.
So you mentioned, you know, banks and credit unions. I have, my entire bureau deals with non-depository institutions. And so we're looking at mortgage lenders. We're looking at short-term installment loans. We're looking at collection agencies. Do you plan on having any kind of curriculum or encouraging curriculum to talk about non-depository services?
Absolutely. I think that part of the, I guess that the benefit of living in the time that we do is that there are so many avenues towards achieving the financial goals and investing and, you know, and borrowing and all of those things, that we shouldn't limit ourselves to what many people are, well, this is the traditional way. You see the online banking in whatever forms that is, through apps, through the traditional banks having an app. That's a huge part of this. Students that I, you know, well, and a lot of parents, I mean, you just don't walk into banks anymore. You don't walk physically into these places anymore. You don't have to. I can deposit mobily. I can, you know, there's a lot of things that I can do. And so we want I believe that our students also need to know how to utilize the tools that are available right now in our very digital age.
I want to kind of transition a little bit to outcomes. And obviously, you've stated a few of them, and they are great overall. But just kind of, we want to gain a better understanding of how we're kind of measuring and really defining successful outcomes in this space. How are you viewing that and kind of measuring that at some level?
That is an important aspect of this. And I think any accountability or ROI in things that we do is very important. I don't know that we've identified exactly what that thing is. I just, in my mind, have a feel of what that would be. I would love to see our students go on to pursue either degrees or jobs in the finance world. I think sparking an interest in what you can do with this. We're not just talking about, well, you need to make sure you can pay your rent and you can buy your groceries. There's so much more to it than that. So I would love to see more students pursue degrees, interests, et cetera, in this financial world. I would love to see our schools, and I think another way that we could tell it's being successful, have offshoot classes from this. And this is, you know, what you were referring to earlier. What if schools were to do, you know, a class that was just about these couple of things? And I think that those things will naturally happen as teachers get sparked themselves and students. I'd also love to see some community work done around this, where what's happening in our high schools, we can extend to families. You know, I talked to financial institutions and did prior to this, who tell me they have departments full of people that their only job is to help, you know, stop the bleeding of people who don't know how to manage money in their own lives. And, you know, you're defaulting on this. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we could have Idaho again be this kind of standout place that we have a better financial outlook individually than other states. I know these are really lofty and like, how do you measure those things? I don't know yet, but I'm hopeful to see those types of things.
Oh, that's great. And I agree with you. I think just the natural education will be helpful to everybody straight off the bat. And I think you'll just see improvements in personal finance. But I just think opening up the world and realizing how big this space is valuable too, because there's just so many places that you can go. Kind of with that said, I think we want to kind of transition a little bit here to the instruction delivery method here and just understanding, and you may have touched on this a little bit earlier, but you're thinking about more individual financial literacy classes as opposed to weaving them into existing courses. Is that kind of correct as a whole?
Absolutely. And the value in my opinion of that is we are elevating it. It's not just, hey, we're going to spend a day and we're going to give you a little workbook and we're going to give you a fake budget. And then in an hour, you're going to have to balance that and do some simple math to subtract. That does not make you good at that. And that's not the real world. And we wish that it was, you know, but really training our students so that they're thinking about that. And I think adding to this, the relationship that people have with money and that baggage that they, you know, bring with them. And for kids growing up, you're going to have attitudes that your parents had, for good or for bad. And so, you know, how do we then help establish that here are healthy ways to approach these things? I want to share with you just real briefly an experience that I have. There's a national program, it's called Reality Town. And I encourage districts to bring this into their schools. And it's designed for 7th and 8th graders, which I think is that really good age to start capturing a lot of these things and these skills. So the point of Reality Town is that a student walks into a large area, mostly they do it in a gym, and they bring in community members from, it could be a lender, it could be a car dealer, you know, they bring in a variety of people who sit at a table. And a student walks in and they get a little card, or they get a booklet, and it's a profile. And you get, this is the job that you have, here's your monthly income, here's how many kids you have, and here are some other factors about you. And then the student then has to go and either rent or buy a home. They've got to either go rent or buy a car. They've got to get a cell phone. Here's your groceries. Here's what you have to put into childcare. So I've seen this done over and over. And the students, they look and they say, $2,500 a month? Are you kidding? This is so much money. You know, they're 13 and, you know, this is so much money. So they start at the first place and they get the very most expensive phone and the best cellular plan that you can possibly get. And then they go get a very fancy car. And then they go and then by the time they're getting to the childcare and to the rent, their money's gone. And so without exception of the adults that I talk to, they say the kids then, you can go back and correct or edit. They all start coming back to where they started and they say, I can't afford this car because I didn't realize I was going to have to pay childcare for 3 kids and other things. And then halfway through that, you get a life problem. You broke your leg. And for whatever reasons, you're not able to now go be a lineman. And you, for whatever reasons, you're limited in your pay. Oh, and by the way, your wife got laid off. What are you going to do with this? I absolutely love the program, whether it's this official like Reality Town. But it's that type of an experience that allows our students to really understand and appreciate what's coming. And then the other after part of this is I talk to parents whose kids have participated and they say, oh, my kid was the most grateful, non-greedy kid for about 3 days. Oh, mom, I had no idea it was so expensive to do all these things.
And it sounds amazing. It's giving me flashbacks to playing Life when I was a kid.
That's kind of like what it is.
About my age.
No, but, yeah. Know. Well, we're in the same vintage or close to.
need some skin in the game.
That's exactly right.
No. But yeah, we also like to talk about kind of the legislative bill really mentions summer institutes and workshops and that they're going to be offered to prepare teachers. Can you kind of give us an overview of what that looks like? Who's involved in that?
It's that prep work to help our teachers. Again, we have elective classes in many of our districts where there is a teacher currently teaching that. But for most of our districts, particularly our more rural and remote places, this is completely new. And we want to make sure that our teachers feel that they're at least they have a foundational place to start. And we'll build upon that, similar to other professional development opportunities that we offer in English for math and science and all of these things. We really want to give them the best kickstart that they can get. And we will be looking to partners around the state to help us to be able to do that. And I'm hopeful, as I mentioned earlier, that our schools will really find teachers who want to do this, who are excited about it, instead of the, some of the stereotypical, things that we might think in our mind of, oh, we don't want to take that class from so-and-so. You know, we're going to be excited because this is going to be a fun class. And so we want to make sure our teachers feel that they have enough to get going, and then we'll support them throughout.
Would we also think about perhaps bringing in financial professionals and getting them certified potentially to teach courses too?
Absolutely. And it would not surprise me, as I touched on earlier, we don't have any big endorsements in any of our colleges of education for this. It wouldn't surprise me to see some of our institutions come forward with, hey, look what we're going to offer now.
Perhaps you'll see some of those credit repair agencies or consumer credit counselors out there that will step forward with some education.
I would love it. And I would love to see some of our financial experts. Perhaps there's opportunities for them to go to a school district and say, hey, I'd love to come in and co-teach. I'd love to, help with how you structure the class. I'd love to see that type of collaboration. That's how we get to the best outcomes.
No, and that kind of leads into kind of the last question is kind of how your office is looking to collaborate with subject matter experts, such as financial industry stakeholders, but also the Idaho Department of Finance, where we work, where we have a lot of knowledge and understanding of how these things work. Kind of what's your thoughts on that in terms of ensuring the success of this program and kind of working with other agencies and actors?
I'm going to take advantage of the both of you. So there you have it. No, let's set up a meeting and cliche. I mean, just kidding aside, I'm very serious. Yeah. We want to structure this. We want this to be successful. I believe in it. And I know that it is something valuable for our kids. Let's get it right from the get-go. I don't want to do something that's kind of sort of developed or in a year, maybe we'll have the program that we want. No, we want to start out of the gate with the thing that we want. And then we improve upon it from there. But we really want to have something that's very quality. So my people are going to call your people.
I love it. Well, I can tell you from the, exactly. Aaron and I are excited about it. And I can tell you our director, Patty Perkins, is excited about
Wonderful.
It. So all of us are looking forward to that call.
Right.
Can't wait to collaborate.
Maybe it won't be snowing by the time we get to that place.
The dream is real.
Is there any final thoughts that you want to point out that we haven't covered?
I don't think so. I guess I would just, reiterate where we started in all of this. When a student leaves a high school, whether it's a traditional public or a charter public school, but our public system, I want that diploma to mean something. I want a student to feel as though they actually got prepared and trained for life. I don't care what it is that they want to do, but I don't want the limiting factor to be that they don't feel like they had the knowledge and the experience to be able to choose to do something that they want to in their life. And, many of our students have jobs during high school. They're already managing money. They're doing it well or poorly. They're already making many of these decisions. Our students are looking at, what cars, what colleges to go to, and on our, on some budgets of sorts. Conversely, we have students who have zero knowledge of this. There's a terrible national statistic and national trends that we have more and more high school students that have not worked for pay when they leave, which blows my mind. So we've got zero experience. And then those who are managing inexperience. So let's get them started right now. I hope that, we can look at going younger into our junior high and maybe taking some of these strands that will be required in high school and building some programs in junior high, but this is a serious thing. I mean, to me, it's on the very same level and par as we want kids to be able to read. We want them to be able to manage money.
Couldn't agree more.
I wish we could go back in time and teach this when I was in school. Honestly.
I know. I hear this all the time. That's where I get to that kind of that community education piece, that maybe there are some ways that we can help strengthen what adults are doing or not doing. And I think we've got some opportunities.
I do too. You know, thank you so much, Superintendent,
thank you.
For taking time out of your schedule just to be here today to talk with us. You know, financial literacy is very important to all of us in this room, clearly. And we look forward to future conversations and opportunities to collaborate in this space.
Yeah, let's come back and do a check-in here maybe halfway through the year. You know, we get through the first semester and kind of see how things are going. And
definitely.
That would be fantastic.
We're putting it on the calendar.
All right. Okay, I'll make a commitment.
Well, all right. We will too.
Thank you.
Thank you again. This was a pleasure.
I want to thank all of our guests today and our listeners for continuing to follow us. I will say, as a parent of several K-12 students myself, I'm thrilled they will be exposed to financial literacy concepts in the classroom. On a final note, please join us next week as we continue this month-long podcast series commemorating Financial Literacy Month. In Episode 8, we will dive into a relatively new but widely available and popular payment option, Buy Now, Pay Later.
We want to thank you for joining us for our production of Insights, the Idaho Department of Finance. We'd love to hear from you and learn more about the ideas and topics that are on your mind. Forward your suggestions and feedback to our email address, finance@finance.idaho.gov.